Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Giving away golden gooses. You know how much they cost, Max? You ain't just giving those damn things away.
Well, Key did give them away. They looked secondhand.
So you know Key's next level. You can't hide money, Key. Can't hide money.
Key thought, I didn't know how much I want them back.
Key thought they were hand-me-downs.
Hand-me-downs. New things look. The hand-me-downs don't look as bad as though. Hand-me-downs
look better.
Hand-me-downs are cool because I done been a hand-me-down kid, right? Hand-me-downs is good. I ain't tripping on that. But them didn't look like they belong in the trash. And what's so cold about it is when you take a rag and try to wipe them off and clean them up with some 409. Nothing moves. It stays the same.
Yeah, that's the point. The point of them is to look like that.
I understand that, but you think they dirty, so you try and clean them, and nothing happens. They still look dirty.
Wait, so before you threw them out, you get them as a gift. Your wife doesn't put you up on what they're supposed to be, so the first thing you do is like, hold on, Key, why did you start to clean them? Did you really think they just got dirty in transit or something?
They were dirty, but they were not like I got some that are really, really vintage looking, but these, they just have some little scratches and stuff on them. So I'm trying to wipe it. I'm like, it doesn't work. Something's wrong.
Coming out.
And I'm like, man, these things is, I can't, nah, I'll pass.
Now, Key, on the West Coast, when you were a kid, was it like on the East Coast, it was Adidas. You had the fat diamond laces and the black and white shell top Adidas, right? The suede Pumas with, you know, the different colors, whatever. And there were Lees. Right, so Lees, and you had to keep them creased. The jeans were Lees. You had to iron them, so there was a crease right down the middle. Little La Tigra, right? Like, right, early 80s, that was the uniform.
Superfly.
What was the uniform in L.A. at that same time?
At that time?
Yeah.
It was probably close to that because we were trying to get into, what would you call it, what was it called? Wasn't hip-hop, right?
It was it breaking, hip-hop? Popping, breaking.
Yeah, we were
still called the hip-hop, yeah.
Yeah, we was kind of like venturing into that avenue, but we also was, our Chucks were always big. I mean, obviously, clearly, but even at a younger age, you know, tough skins, man. I had, you know, when I was a little kid, tough skins. I actually might go buy me a pair of tough skins just to wear them.
Did kangaroos ever hit, what they call them, ruse? Kangaroos ever hit out there?
Yeah, ruse was here. Kangaroos was here.
Wow.
Kangaroos was here. Oh. Gazelles, all that stuff. Yeah.
Voskos,
sure.
Remember the two-tone jeans, the Voskos?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's vintage. If they want to bring something back, bring back the vintage, you know?
Carl Kanai was big in those days.
Carl Kanai.
Cross colors. Cross colors were huge.
Yeah, yep. Joe Fortenbaugh.
Joey.
With us right now. What's going on, Joe?
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, week 6 in the NFL is here, Joe. Thanks for coming on the show. It starts tonight with the Bucks and the Eagles. And we're going to get you ready for the week 6 action with Joe from ESPN Daily Wager. Oh, and there's a lot of action to get to, Joe. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's fire away.
All right. Tampa Bay is at Philly. Tampa's favored by 7. The over-under is 52.5 points.
Not a lot to love in this game, in my opinion. If I was going to do anything, I'd side with Philadelphia plus the 7. I'd also look to the under at 52.5. These Thursday night games have a history of being really sloppy, right? It's a short week. It's a quick turnaround. Guys aren't even close to healthy. We saw it last week with Seahawks-Rams. The total was 53.5. They only scored 43 points in that game. It was messy from start to finish. Remember, Tampa Bay scoring 41 points per game at home. They're only scoring 21 points per game on the road this season. And as bad as Philadelphia has looked at times, they're still top 5 in opponent yards per play. So I think this is tightly contested. I'd also lean to the under.
If you think about it, Philadelphia is such a tough place to play. And you talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into Philadelphia and you're looking at the point spreads and whatnot, but I'm sticking to the football field. Tom Brady has a little bit of discomfort with his throwing arm. The Philadelphia Eagles certainly could take advantage of that if they have Jalen Hurts on the offensive end doing what he's capable of doing. This is a young football team, but they got a veteran team in Tampa Bay who could be coming in sleepwalking. This, again, is a tough place to play.
Oh, just please don't be a close game. I need sleep. I need sleep.
You'll be
fine. Eventually, I need sleep.
You'll be fine.
Getting up at 3:30 in the morning. All right. Green Bay at Chicago, guys. Green Bay is favored by 4.5 on the road. The over-under is 44 points.
I mean, how much do we want to bring history into account here, right? We're not supposed to. We're supposed to evaluate it for what we've seen recently, but Green Bay has covered the spread in 20 of the last 27 meetings between these two teams. Green Bay has covered the spread in 17 of their last 22 trips to Chicago. They own the Bears. And I know Chicago got that nice win last week against the Raiders. Give them credit for getting it done, but the offense still ranks 30th in scoring and dead last in yards per play. If Rodgers is able to score his points, I don't know how Chicago's going to keep up. I would lean to the Packers minus the 4.5.
The Chicago Bears defense is playing better of late. They have more energy. Khalil Mack, 5 sacks on the season, is certainly doing his job with this young man, Justin Fields, not necessarily playing lights out at quarterback, but stabilizing a unit that certainly needed it. But he's energized the entire team. I'm not so sure that Green Bay won't get upset in this situation at all.
Yeah. Jay, you have an opinion about this? You want to go to the next one?
Chicago's defense can be interesting. I still think Justin Fields can do some damage. Green Bay minus 4.5. I might take Chicago in this one. Let's go to the next one.
You should have seen Jay like really considering it.
Something
real on the line in this game for him.
There might be something real on the line
here.
I really do make these bets in real life. Okay, we got Los Angeles at Baltimore. Baltimore, Joe, -3, over under 52 points.
All right, short week for the Ravens. They're coming off that Monday night comeback against Indianapolis, so they've got less time to prepare for this game. You got a Chargers team traveling across the country that has been playing dynamite football on both sides. Defensively, they looked fantastic. Last week when they got down against Cleveland, they didn't panic. They've got a head coach who understands analytics and how to be aggressive with his play calling and his decisions on fourth down. I love what Brandon Staley is doing with the Chargers right now. Keep this in mind. The Ravens are 4-1 this year, but they're already 3-1 in one-score games. That's a very telling statistic. Over a large enough sample size, you should be 500 in one-score games. Every now and again, you make the game-winning field goal. Every now and again, the opponent makes the game-winning field goal. Every now and again, your red zone drive fails, their two-minute drive fails, right? It should balance out. Anytime you're on an extreme end of the spectrum, the law of averages is going to bring you back to the middle. Baltimore already 3-1 in one-score games. I like the Chargers here.
I think when you look at this football game, an emotional victory over the Cleveland Browns last Sunday, an emotional victory for the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night against the Indianapolis Colts, this could be a fireworks game again, where now all of a sudden you have Lamar Jackson trying to take another step in this football game against a tight, tough defense of the Chargers, and you also got a young stud quarterback in Justin Herbert going in here. This could be a high-scoring, high-flying game, no question about it. I think the over and the under on this one is plus 52.
There's so much on the line in this game. Just as like when you think about the quarterbacks who've beaten Mahomes, the teams who have beaten the Chiefs, this pits two of them together. Like the winner of this game is going to be seen along with Buffalo as the rising power in the AFC. Kansas City at Washington. Mm. Kansas City, speaking of the Chiefs, are 6.5-point favorites on the road. The over-under is 55.5 points.
They never cover, Joe.
Very good point. 3-13 against the spread in their last 16 games dating back to last year. They've covered 1-point spread this season. That was in Philadelphia against the Eagles, and that game was tight at the half. Do you want to lay your hard-earned money on the Chiefs right now? Remember, this line was Kansas City -7, but Washington money came in to knock it down to 6.5. So if you like Washington, you got to shop for the 7. If you like the Chiefs, you got to play it inside a 7. Kansas City will probably be a very popular 6-point teaser play. More on that down the line. But you've got two really bad defenses here. I'm sure you guys have hit on how bad Kansas City's defense is. Washington's defense is not living up to expectations. They're 20th in opponent yards per play. There's a reason this total is sitting up at 55. Maybe it's a shootout. Personally, I want nothing to do with it. I can't get behind the Chiefs, and Washington's been terrible this season.
This is not the time for the Kansas City Chiefs to all of a sudden make the Washington football team defense look like lights out. If they get up early in this game based on that, I don't think that Washington's offense, even though the Kansas City's defense is very bad, they like to play with major leads. And that's the key in this football game, is for Patrick Mahomes to keep the turnovers down, to get the football down the field to the playmakers, score some points, to make Washington try and figure things out on the offensive side of the ball. Don't take unnecessary chances by heaving the football in the air because their defense isn't playing that well. We've seen Patrick do that over the last couple weeks, and it's cost them.
Joe, you said they're 3-13 dating back to last year on covering against the spread. That's why, look, and this team has lost the last three out of four games. I'm going so hard at this game. Evan, just go ahead and knock me down $75 for the Chiefs to cover. They're going to be up on the Washington football team, Joe. Believe that's going to happen. Let's get to my game.
I'm totally with you, by the way. I think the Chiefs are going to take them to the woodshed in this game. Yeah, I don't know if I like the over, but I like the cover.
They will cover. All right, the Cardinals on the road versus the Browns. The Browns coming off that loss to the Chargers. Everybody's talking about Baker Mayfield, the chemistry with OBJ. Cleveland -3, over, under 49.5.
All right, Jay, I'm glad you mentioned Cleveland coming off a loss, because that's a very interesting note here. Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, has only been the head coach of this team for 1+ seasons, right? This is his second year. But he's 6-0 coming off a loss. 6-0. Here's the trap, though. He's only 1-5 against the spread when coming off a loss. He's played a lot of bad teams. He's beaten them, but he hasn't covered the number. He tends to win tight. So what do you want to get behind? The fact that they bounce back and win after a loss, but they don't end up covering the spread, so maybe you want to find yourself looking to Arizona. I think it's a huge advantage for the Cardinals that they're traveling across the country for this game, but it's an afternoon game. It's not a morning game. So the body clocks don't have to worry about getting in sync like you do when you have to come east and you might struggle going to bed the night before. I'm sure Keyshawn knows all about that. Ultimately here, I find myself looking to Cleveland in the bounce back spot. I would side with Stefanski over Cliff Kingsbury when it comes to crucial decision making. Something looked off with the Cardinals last week against the Niners, so it's a slight lean to Cleveland right now.
Yeah, it's not a big difference in travel time at all. You're a couple hours in the air. It's not going from Seattle to New York, so it's a huge, you know, that would be a huge advantage. There's no advantage here for Arizona. The interesting thing will be, can Cleveland's defense somehow slow down Kyler Murray and Arizona's football team? If they're capable of doing that, then they can get out of here with the W. Can Baker Mayfield close things out if it gets tight late in the game? Can they figure out how to get OBJ OBJ involved from beginning to end? I've been talking forever.
You caught that Max Kellerman frog,
the
huh?
Frog. The frog got you. The frog got you. All right. Dallas at New England. Dallas, 3.5-point favorites. The over-under is 51 points, Joe.
All right, so everyone's going to line up to bet the Cowboys here, right? Everyone's going to line up. The Cowboys have won every single game since that week one Thursday nighter in Tampa Bay. They're the only team in the NFL that's a perfect 5-0 against the spread. Every time we see them, they're putting up a ton of points, right? Meanwhile, on the other side, here's New England. Last week, they should have lost to Houston. The week before in the big build-up game against the Patriots, they come up short there. So everyone's going to line up on Dallas. Be careful. Just like with that Tampa game, be very careful. The look-ahead line here was Dallas -1. That was the spread last week. After we saw everything we saw this weekend, it jumped as high as 4. I think that's a big overreaction. You put Mike McCarthy and his game management next to Bill Belichick and his game management, that could be the difference in a game that's at home for the Patriots, where they're the home dog, coming off a dicey situation. I think you get a great week of practice. I would look to New England here.
Yeah, I think the Dallas football team going into New England is something special. These guys are on a roll right now. The New England Patriots, yes, they're kind of clunking along with Mac Jones at the quarterback spot. But every single position of the Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion, is better than the New England Patriots, except the sideline. But I think the talent can outweigh what the New England Patriots have on the sideline and Bill Belichick and that coaching staff.
All right, you heard all the analysis. Now it's time to make our picks in House Money. House Money is delivered by FanDuel. First, Evan, how'd we do last week?
Yeah, so You each actually won. Everybody was in the positive. I think that's the first time that's happened all season. Key won on the fight, so he won $63.50 for the week. Jay won $17.30 for the week. Max, you won $5.40. You won your two money line bets. Giants broke your heart again. And Joe won two bets, lost one bet. So that's where we're at. Jay still leads at $231.63. Key has $222.35. Don't know why I said it like that. Joe has $130.20. And Max, you're up to $96.89. So
get money. That's where we at. Get money. Well, actually, I've lost $3 and change, but that's besides the point. Never mind. Nothing to see here.
What are your picks, Joe? Give me your stuff.
I'm still trying to get over how someone reads American currency as 222.75. Like, that was the first time I've ever heard anyone break down money like that in my entire life.
Yeah, what currency was
right,
that?
I'm gonna make two bets this week.
What, the euro, pounds, shekels, rubles? What was, I don't know. I don't know what that was. Yeah.
All right, so two games this week. Both bets are going to be the standard. Risk $5.50 to win $5. First game is going to be the aforementioned Chargers +3 at Baltimore. Short week for the Ravens. I love the balance that the Chargers are bringing to the table. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Justin Herbert. He's getting better each and every week. Mike Williams has been a very pleasant surprise at wide receiver now that he's finally healthy and playing a consistent role in that offense. The Chargers and the adjustments they made against Cleveland last week, that was huge. Because that looked like a situation where Cleveland was going to run away with that game, and the Chargers figured out how to lock it down a little bit on defense to get some stops and then make some plays on offense. So I'll take the 3 points. I think they're live here. It's not going to be a surprise to me if they win the game outright. Game number two. One of the games I gave you last week was Tennessee over Jacksonville because of the dysfunction in Jacksonville regarding Urban Meyer. I'm going to do the same thing this week. Denver -3.5 over the Raiders. All right. I don't know how much the Raiders have been able to focus on anything regarding the Broncos, given everything they're dealing with right now with the John Gruden situation. Compound that with the fact that they've lost two in a row. And despite the fact that they're 3-2 this season, they've got a negative scoring differential. So this could very easily be a 2-3 or a 1-4 football club. I know Denver's falling on some tough times, but they're at home. They got to smell blood in the water. I'd lay the 3.5 with the Broncos.
Who's up?
So I'm gonna spend $50 on the Dallas Cowboys to cover going into Foxborough. Taking a look at a young Mac Jones against emerging defense in the Cowboys. We already know what they have on the offensive side of the board, so I'm gonna spend that $50 on that. Then I'm gonna go college football if that's okay with you, Evan. College football.
We're doing college now?
Oh,
can't hear you.
Good. Okay. Good. All right. No. Good to know. No college football.
No college.
I thought maybe we could because I thought I saw college football on the board, but I guess I didn't. I'm going to take tonight's game. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm going to drop $50 for them to cover on that as well. And then I'm going to take a look at the Raiders against the Denver Broncos. I think the Raiders cover. There's no question about it. Even though they've gone through this adversity, I'm going to spend $25 on that because I believe in Rich Bisaccia to take over for John Gruden, and they rally around him and they get it done.
Yeah, I'm gonna fade you on that one, Key, on the Raiders Broncos.
Real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
What was that college pick? Even if he's not allowed to use it in the contest, what do you like, Key?
Kentucky. I like Georgia smashing Kentucky. And covering with no question at all.
I think that's an easy one. Yeah. I was going to say, I'll fade you, Key, on the Raiders-Broncos. I think that Bisaccia is a great coach. I think that's a huge ask and a quick turnaround time. So I'll take the Broncos to cover at home. I'm with you, Joe. I'll do $25 on that. Like I said before, Evan, I'm putting $75 on the Chiefs to cover on the road against the Washington football team. And then I'll take $30 on the Browns to cover versus my Cardinals at home. Huge game for Baker Mayfield and OBJ.
All right, this is the week I get into the black. I'm out of the red and into the black. Ready? I'm down about $3 so far. So I have to start increasing my wager. Forget those $5 bets. I'm betting $6 a game right now. Ready for this?
God.
I'm increasing it. $6 on Pittsburgh over Seattle. I'm taking the money line. Pittsburgh over Seattle at home. I am taking $6 and putting it on the Chiefs to cover, just like we discussed, that $6 on the Chiefs to cover. And there was one more. What was the other one? Oh, yeah. Oh, God, it's killed. Oh, no. You know what? I'm not. I'm staying away from the Giants. I'm putting $6 on Tennessee to beat the spread against Buffalo.
Wow. A whopping $18 for you this week.
$18. I'm starting to step it up. Here we go. Make
money.
Slow
death. Slow death.
Slow death. Death by 1,000 paper cuts. All right. That's house money delivered by FanDuel. Get your first bet risk-free when you sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code KJM. Thank you, as always, Joe.
Appreciate you, Joe.
By the way, we do.
Always a pleasure, boys. Have a great show. Thanks for having me.
We do Joe Knows on This Just In. Fantastic new show, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Joe Knows, he's on fire. He hasn't gotten one. I don't remember the last time he didn't win a bet.
That's on your show.
He makes three a week, and he hits every time. Why things would be different in Las Vegas if someone else was in charge.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline, including former Raiders executive and CBS sports football analyst Amy Trask. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Morning, Amy. I hate to be having a conversation with you rather than our normal conversations we would have. I got to bring you in for something like this at a time like this, so to speak. You've been knowing Mark Davis for a very, very, very long time. And his statement statement that he put out yesterday, what's your response to that?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Well, you are right. It would be much nicer to be having one of our normal conversations, but it is so important, as we know, that we are having this conversation. It's a mix of emotions. I didn't work with Mark for a particularly long period of time. I was with the Raiders almost 30 years, but about 29 of those were working with Al and then handling the transition. I'll answer in two ways. I do not believe that if Mark knew that these were John's beliefs, he would have hired John. But he did hire John. I was then surprised that it took from Friday, when we know the team had the emails, and many people are suggesting they had access to them earlier or they'd seen them earlier, but even if they'd only gotten them on Friday, that it took until Monday after everything became public for this to end and for John to no longer be with the team. And then one wonders, had they never become public on Monday, well, and one was public Friday, the rest became public Monday, had we not learned of more on Monday, would John still be with the team or not? Because the team had the emails on Friday, he coached on Sunday, and it wasn't until Monday night that he was gone. So, and then I would have liked to have a statement from Mark. Yeah, I'm not suggesting he needed to hold a press conference, needed to make a big deal, but a strong, unequivocal statement was what I was hoping for. So, no, I don't think he would have hired John if he knew about this. Yes, I think this could have been handled more strongly and more emphatically when the team learned.
Why, Amy, do you think it took 2 days, 3 days before everything came down on Monday?
I don't know the answer to that. And you know me, I'm the girl that went to law school, so I don't speculate. I can hear someone's voice in my head saying, you know, objection, she's speculating. And as a general rule, and law school teasing aside, I don't want to speculate. I will quite emphatically say I don't like that it took from Friday until Monday. You'd seen this stuff on Friday. That's dispositive in my mind. You see this stuff, you don't wait.
Amy Trask, CBS Sports NFL analyst, former Raiders CEO, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Amy, how would Al Davis have handled this?
Well, again, I can always hear Al's voice in my head saying, don't speculate for me. So I'm not going to say how he would have handled it, but I will say that he would have been infuriated and horrified by that which became public. Look, you have people listening to your show that love the Raiders and loved Al, and people that hate the Raiders and couldn't stand Al. But if we are all being intellectually honest, we will recognize the fact that this man did decades and decades and decades before anyone else was even talking about it in league circles. He hired Tom Flores. He hired me. He advanced Art Schell to head coach, and I offer that simply in chronological order. This man hired without regard to race, gender, or any other individualities which have no bearing whatsoever on whether one can do a job. So had he become aware of those emails and what was in those emails, he would have been incensed. And let me say one thing about the emails, because we are talking about the emails because that's how we learned of this. Our focus should not simply be as to what was in the emails, but the fact that that's what is in his heart and in his mind. You don't put that in an email if you don't believe that. So what's more horrifying than the emails themselves is that this is someone's beliefs.
Mm. So what does the NFL need to do to become more inclusive as it relates to an environment in the year 2021, Amy? How do they go about fixing this?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, no worries. How did they go about fixing this?
Well, I'm glad you both referenced that it's 2021, and I'm glad that you just used the word fixing this, because I've been using that word all week. It is 2021, and it is incomprehensible to me that we haven't yet found a way to fix this. And by the way, this is not simply a Raider issue. This is not simply an NFL issue. This is a business issue for businesses of all kinds, and it's not simply a business issue. It's a societal issue, and I wish I had the magic fix, because we do need to fix this. So I will answer your question as to what the NFL should do, but I'm going to tell you I think this is what every business should do. Diversity and inclusiveness and creating pipelines for those who have not had opportunities in the past needs to be a priority. And the league is doing that. I want to make very clear that while the views that Gruden exchanged in his email correspondence with Bruce Allen, and I understand there were a few others on the correspondence, is not unique to John or to Bruce. They are not the only ones in the league with that view. But I want to be careful to note that there are a lot of really, really, really good people in the league, and that those are not the views held by everyone. So those really, really good people in the league and in businesses of all natures need to use a horse term, take the reins and double down on everything that has been done to date. There are some teams that are doing a good job. I'm sitting here in California, so I'll name two California teams. The Rams, the 49ers, they've created pipelines to increase diversity and inclusiveness, and every business needs to do that, not just the NFL. And every business, not just the NFL, needs to let people know, we don't want you here if those are your views.
Amy Trask, CBS Sports NFL analyst and former Raiders CEO, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Amy, you've practiced law. You've been around this National Football League and sports forever. I've been knowing you for a very, very long time. And if right now there's a lot of people, both on the NFL side and the NFLPA side, that would like for the NFL to release those 650,000 or so emails to the public so that people could actually see what's in those emails. Do you think that that's a good thing?
It's a great, great question. And, you know, I kind of groan every time I hear the number 650,000 because I can think of the amount of money lawyers would charge to go through all of those. But putting that aside, you're absolutely right. Damora Smith and the NFLPA have asked for disclosure of all the emails. So, too, have the women, the lawyers who are representing the women that sued the Washington football team. And that was, of course, the genesis of how we learned of these emails. I don't know what the NFL is going to do. I do know that I believe that transparency is important. And, you know, query whether they have to release all 650,000. There will be some in there that I believe would be subject to an attorney-client privilege. But setting that aside, you know, they can try to squat on them all. There may or may not be more leaks. I want to say one thing about the leak in a minute. But as a general philosophy, I believe in transparency. Now, as to the leak, when I heard initially that these emails were leaked by the NFL, I didn't buy that. I still don't buy that the league was the source of leaking these emails. Now, ultimately, it doesn't matter who leaked them. They became public. I just want to note, I don't think it was the NFL.
Mm. You know, I had that conversation with Max offline probably 45 minutes ago, Amy. I said to Max, I said, I don't know if the NFL would actually did that. I kind of have a theory, but you know what happens with theories. I just kind of want to leave it to myself, but I don't know that the league did that. But I could be wrong.
Amy, before we get out of here quickly, I just wanted to ask you quickly, because racism, sexism, you know, this is about not just personally held prejudices, but about power. In your experience in the NFL and now, you know, covering it, is your experience that things are getting better along those lines and this is what's so shocking about an email like this, or that this kind of behavior and you know, where one powerful guy is sending this email to another franchise's powerful executive is pervasive?
I have to answer that quickly for you, so I'll answer in two pieces very quickly. Do I think things are getting better? Yes, I do. When I started my career, I was the only woman in that room for NFL meetings. That has changed. I'm using that simply as a quick example to let you know I think things are getting better. Do I believe that this is pervasive? No, I don't believe it's pervasive throughout the league. Do I believe that this is a one-off and that no one else has those views? No, I do not.
Excellent. Well, there's a lot of reason for optimism in that answer, I think, and also still room for concern. Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much. That's former Raiders executive CBS.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Sports football analyst Amy Trask on the Goodyear Hotline. Thank you, Amy, again. Keyshawn J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance. The Raiders turn the page to week 6. So do we.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Key, we just had Amy Trask on talking about the Raiders situation.
I just laugh because Yates is funny. You know the song, Key, and he show pictures of John Gruden. I'm like, oh, man.
Hey, man.
You cold-blooded, Yates. Go ahead.
Key, Amy Trask just came on this show and spoke the way like you wish the commissioner of a league would speak, right? The precision of the language to express the ideas and the righteous ideas, right? What stood out to you from the conversation?
Well, I've been knowing Amy for a very long time, and she just every time, she's just a badass to me. Like, she's just ridiculously smart, articulate. She just knows her stuff. This is why when we always talk about hiring people, right, whether it's the skin color, the gender, whatever the case may be, you never know, man. Like, this is a type – she is the type of individual that you bring in that should be running, much like you said, you know, running a league, running a team, given the opportunity to do her thing. And it's just I'm excited. You know, I get excited when you get to talk to somebody like that that know their stuff and not just in circles, talking in circles. Like, she pinpoint talking about the discrimination, talking about the women, talking about all the different individuals that could be at play here. And not only that, her and I, to a degree, share the same views as I don't know if it was the league, Max. It's just hard for me to believe that the NFL would leak this stuff to get rid of a coach. I almost feel like the emails got into somebody else's hands, saw some stuff, gave it to somebody that was name was in the email, said, man, look what this dude's saying about y'all or who. And they said, oh, okay, I got something for him. That's kind of how I look at it, but that's just my own little conspiracy theory.
We don't know who leaked it.
It's so many. 650,000. Okay, so you're both of y'all, and I'm going to be condescending here. You got a Columbia guy and a Duke guy. 650,000 emails. So do the math on who was CC'd on those emails and add that to the pot.
650,000. You know, I'm glad, Key, you brought up the point you did. And I talk about this a lot. When anti-discrimination, right, being open and egalitarian and everyone having a shot is not just about doing the morally upright thing. That's the most important thing, is doing the morally upright thing. But even if you are motivated purely by self-interest, you are hurting your own business. You are hurting your own life when you exclude based on stuff like gender or race. By the way, you want a stark example would be, did the play in Major League Baseball go up or down when they broke the color line? Because you are simply excluding a percentage of the population from opportunity based on something other than their merit. You are, even if you're totally motivated by self-interest and not by ethics at all, or any kind of moral compass at all, it's in your best interest as a person, as a business, to be inclusive along those lines.
That makes sense. But once again, like I say, you know, sometimes there's people that you listen to, Key, Max, that make all the sense in the world. But you know, we live in a non-practical world, right? You live in a non-sensible world where there are certain habits or there are certain stereotypes that are built into people from the moment they are raised.
Yeah.
Subconsciously, Max, things that have been said around them that become part, unless you subconsciously and consciously make a concerted effort to fight that, sometimes those things come out when you least expect it.
Hey, Key, you know what I hear in a lot of Gruden's emails? I hear a lot of fear. Like, not in a lot of the emails. I didn't read all the emails. In what was leaked, you know, like in the kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I hear fear. In other words, the world is changing. The nice, safe world that you grew up in it's not the same anymore. You have to deal with different people and different kinds of people, and the values that you thought, you know, informed your decisions have changed. And older people, by the way, I find this with myself just in terms of like rules in sports. I don't like this new rule in football that doesn't let the defense, right? Because it's not what I'm used to. And as you get older, you feel that old world slipping away. And Key, particularly people who benefited from the old status quo are angry about it.
Yeah, I can see where you get that from, but I also look at it from a standpoint of when you're a bad person, you're a bad person. It doesn't mean anything.
Because
that started a long time ago. It did just start this year. It started 10, 11 years ago in the emails that we may have gotten our hands on, or not even necessarily emails, the information from the emails that we got our hands and eyes and ears on. How about years before that? How about private conversations and things of that nature that are not in emails? How about text messages? How about all of those sort of things that you didn't see? So, you know, it's one of those deals that you look at it, and much like Amy said, if Mark Davis had known prior to the hiring of John Gruden, he wouldn't have never been the Raiders coach. And I strongly believe that, because you've got to have zero morals to hire somebody that did those sort of things that is a very bad person. You have to have zero morals. If somebody, you saw somebody, Max, and they wanted to be your agent and you knew that, would you hire them?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No, but you hire them based on them hiding, and then all of a sudden you learn about it, you going to fire their ass.
Which is why I thought Derek Carr's message was spot on. You know, look, I have a personal relationship with this person. What they did was bad, period. I'm not that way. My kids are not that way. I do have a personal relationship that predates my knowledge of this.
I'm still blown away by Amy Trask. I tell you, every time she comes on, Key, I literally have my pen and paper, and I'm taking notes like I'm in school.
Yeah. See, yeah. I got my pen, too. Look.
All right.
And I got my paper, Jay, but ain't no notes on it.
Ain't no notes on it.
We did a lot today. We got a lot more coming up tomorrow. Greeny's next. KJM. We got Chris Long tomorrow. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.